This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, all the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. I believe that we are coming into the greatest move of God's Spirit in history. And I believe that everything, the closer we get to the return of the Messiah, is going to be centered on the Jew and Israel. And the one new man, the Jew and Gentile, with that middle wall of separation coming down, one new man in the Messiah. Now, in order to reach the Jew, and this is God's strategy to reach the world, I might add, in order to reach the Jew, we're told in Scripture how. The Jew requires a sign, requires the supernatural. And I have found if you will reach Jewish people with the gospel, it opens up a supernatural door to reach multitudes of Gentiles with the gospel. That's why I'm so excited with my guest, Jerry Basinger. I'm speaking to him at his home in Holt Summit, Missouri. And Jerry, back in July of 93, you got a sentence no one wants to hear. What did the doctors tell you?
I went in to have a what I thought was a wart removed off my lower lip, and the doctor looked at it and he said, that's not a wart. He checked me all over, and he found 5 growths on me that he wanted to biopsy. I had one on my nose, one on my upper left ear, one on my lower lip.
Did you suspect the worst, that it might be cancer?
No, I just thought they were warts. And he says, well, they just don't look good, but I want to test them. And he took biopsies of them, and they were all malignant melanomas. And then he said, I immediately want to put you in the hospital and remove these growths. And he was talking about cutting a football-shaped piece out of my lower lip. He said would require reconstruction.
That's almost your mouth.
a reconstructive surgery. He wanted to remove the top part of my left ear and a big piece out of my nose and my left lower eyelid and a place out of my left arm. And so he wanted me to go to my family doctor and have blood work and all done preparatory for me going to the hospital for surgery. And I went to the doctor. The doctor told me there was something not right about your liver, and then they thought perhaps that maybe I had hepatitis, and they tested me for hepatitis. They tested me for mononucleosis. They tested me for AIDS.
Did you have any symptoms about what was going on with your liver that you knew something was wrong?
I had pain in my back for a long time. I worked 3 full-time jobs. I worked 20 to 22 hours a day, 7 days a week, for over 20 years.
My goodness, can I hire you? No, I'm just teasing. Go ahead.
and I made myself go on a couple hours or less of sleep a day. And still don't sleep much to this day, even. I don't require much sleep.
But so what'd they find out about your liver?
Well, they tested me for 3 days in a row and had me on a particular diet for 3 days and tested my liver, and they said there's still something wrong. So they sent me to a hospital, and they had biopsies done on my liver. And the doctor told me, he says, well, I got good news and bad news. Which do you want first? And I said, well, give me the good news. And the doctor said, well, I don't think you need all the surgery the doctors want to do. And I thought, well, good, great, I'm glad to hear that. I says, I didn't want to do that anyway. Now, I said, well, what's the bad news? He says, well, the bad news is you have extensive liver cancer. And he says, I would suspect you'll be dead in a month. I wouldn't waste my time with the surgeries.
How did that hit you?
I remember this pit in my stomach, and my skin just felt hot all over, and hair on the back of my neck stood up. I've never had a feeling like that before. Just like somebody sticks a gun in your face. Well, I've had that happen before, and it didn't even do that to me. All of a sudden, my whole world crumbled. I had just been married at the time 4 years to the love of my life, I'm still married to. And all of a sudden, I started thinking about the time back when I was 16 years old that I went up to receive Jesus as my Savior, or thought I did, but realized my life never had changed, and I was living a very sinful life and didn't even care about living a sinful life. And I realized I was going to be spending some time in the future someplace I didn't want to be. And that was, between that and my wife, I think were my two biggest thoughts. I actually had to say thoughts about wondering what was going to happen to my wife was actually the first and foremost thought, even above my own life.
That's who could be prepared for a doctor to say you have 1 month to live? You can't prepare for something like that. Now, you went to your church. You were anointed with oil. Truthfully, did you believe you would be healed?
I went to church every week like a lot of people do, doing God a favor, I thought. I had a lot of religion. I had no relationship with the Savior whatsoever. So I can't really say as I had a lot of faith, because I didn't. When I was anointed for healing, I didn't feel anything. Some people say, well, I felt a heat go all over me. I felt nothing. I really didn't. But in about 3 weeks, my melanoma started going away. However, the pain in my body got worse and worse and worse. And over a period of another 2 or 3 months, I got down to 86 pounds.
How much do you weigh today?
About 145. Now, when I was diagnosed, my normal body weight at that time was about 123 pounds. And I had never been any heavier than 123 pounds up till that time.
Yeah, but 86 pounds, you were skin and bones.
I was so thin, I only had one side.
Hmm.
And
so did you kind of give up in despair?
Actually, no. I got real serious about getting to God's Word, because that day that I was prayed for, I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And I said, Lord, I thought I asked you to be my Savior back then, but I can see that nothing really happened in my life, and I can see that I had no relationship with you. And so today I'm asking you to come into my heart, and I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior, and save me, Father. And the Lord told me to open my Bible to Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3, and I opened it up, and it says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And I said, well, Lord, what does this mean, Lord? Are you going to heal me? And I felt the presence of God speak inside of me. I didn't hear it in my ears. I just sensed he was saying to me, Jerry, I have already healed you. And I remember saying out loud, well, you could have fooled me. I was getting, you know, I was in a lot of pain. And by the time about 3 months had passed and I got down to about 86 pounds, I had been confessing the word of God over that I was healed by the stripes of Jesus many times a day. I bet I could say 100 times a day. Every time a pain hit me, and it was pretty often, I would be saying, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And faith started rising up in me. And over...
Had you been taught about saying this, doing things like this?
Someone gave me a tape, an evangelist friend of mine gave me a tape by a gentleman named Charles Capps that talks about the power of the tongue. And he was teaching in there that you speak the word of God and believe what you say. And of course, Mark 11:23 and 24 say that you, whatever you speak and doubt not in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you say. And so I started speaking it, and I found that as I spoke it and spoke it, that I started believing what I was reading in the Bible, and I read the Bible out loud every day. I had nothing to do, basically, but to spend my time immersing myself in the Word of God. I had been a civilian employee of the Missouri State Highway Patrol for 21 and a half years. And when they told me I was going to be dead in a month, I resigned. I figured if I got a month to live, I'm sure not going to waste it here.
But months went by, and you knew that you were healed, but was there a moment that it happened, or was it a gradual thing?
I think it was a gradual thing. Like I said, my melanoma started going away just on their own in about 2 to 3 weeks. The pain, however, got worse, and I look back on it, and I realize, well, the devil was trying to make me believe that God's word didn't work, that it did work.
Now, how long have you been cancer-free?
I've been cancer-free all these years since then. I never went back to the doctor to have them check me. I just
since 93.
Right. They told me I was going to die in a month, and there came a point, I'm going to say probably 8 to 9 months later, that I knew that I knew that there wasn't any cancer in my body.
But you got more than you bargained for. You got more than a healing. You found out that you started praying for people,
yeah,
and they would get healed. But the thing that even intrigues me more than that, Jerry, is these words of knowledge, very specific words of knowledge. Had you ever experienced something like that previously?
No. Yes, I have to back up and say that. But I didn't recognize what it was or where it was from. But not very often. I would say maybe 3 or 4 times in my lifetime.
I mean, you in Africa, you would know specific family members and
yes,
what their sicknesses were.
Yes.
And I mean, this had to stagger even you.
Uh-huh. And it still does today. I had a church that I was at holding a healing service, God told me to walk over to this man and put my hand on his chest and just say, Lord, show him your mercy. Now, I did not have a word of knowledge about that. I had a word of knowledge to go and put my hand on his chest. About 10 days after I got home, I got a letter from one of the church elders that this man had a mass in his chest and the doctors were going to operate on him. And he went to the doctor to have them do the surgery, and they x-rayed him prior to surgery, and it was gone. And they x-rayed him again from another angle, and it was absolutely gone.
And our time, unfortunately, is just about gone. Ms. Bocha, I believe that Jerry's going to have words of knowledge this week. That's where I'm going to put my faith right now. But I'm holding in my hand the missing link. Now, what I'm talking about is the missing link in the church. There is something that was a mystery to me as a Jewish believer in Jesus as to why so many Jewish people missed that Jesus was the Messiah, his first coming. And my friend, Dr. Robert Fisher, researched the Dead Sea Scrolls and found some amazing things. He's written a book called Full Circle. I'll tell you more about it, but it's going to fill in the missing links for you for a donation of $20 or more. Call her right today. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzi, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.